Try not to worry about those types of things, although, you know, the risk is always there. More so we're worried to take care of the guests that are, you know, currently affected. People are shocked. I mean, it's a pretty big event, and if you drive by, it's a, you know, pretty noticeable thing.
A sinkhole. Can you imagine? You go to Disney World with your family. You're staying in a resort nearby. And you're lucky that you didn't get swallowed up by this enormous sinkhole. And people know that this is nothing to laugh about because there was a sinkhole in Florida that swallowed a man who was in his bed and they never found his body. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hey, fans, this is where we start because I think it's pretty bizarre, the sinkholes. We know partly what causes this in Florida, but what are you going to do? It's popping up in people's backyards. Now you have this in a resort property where there are a few people that are barely rescued, and you look at the pictures, and it is frightening. All of a sudden, the side of this condo is, boom, down. It's like the ground is eating the condo. And there were people that were in those condos. So it comes down to we're watching what's going on in Florida, and I'm hoping that not where I live, we're not going to see any sinkholes because there's no way to tell. They're going to have to come up with ways to see if they can sniff this out a little bit better, but saying that and talking to people about it, I think it's pretty difficult to figure out where that's going to happen. How are you going to know if a sinkhole is going to open up and the condo you're in is going to collapse, especially near Disney World? Scary. It swallows. You know, they even have different names for it. A swallow hole, a shake hole, a swallet. It's a natural depression or hole in the Earth's surface. That's how it's described. You know, when this phenomenon of these sinkholes started to come up, and we've had sinkholes that have happened, it used to be such a rare kind of thing that you'd hear on the news, oh, a sinkhole opened up at wherever and something happened. But now it seems every week, no exaggeration, we're seeing this in the state of Florida. It's a chemical dissolution of rocks or sandstone, in sandstone. And it's a collapse sometimes of old mine workings that are close to the surface, but that's not the case where these condos were. And the scary thing is how they vary in size, in diameter, depth. And, for example, where the poor guy that was sleeping was swallowed up whole, it was an enormous sinkhole. We're just sort of pulling everything down, and it leads to us, you know, suffocating whoever it is that goes underneath, because that's what's happening. And some of them are huge. You know, they call it at Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky. I remember as a kid going there. They talk about that. That's the Cedar Sink. And you can see it. You can see how it's on both sides, how it comes down. And that's limestone. And that's a lot of what Florida is. They're talking about limestone. And that's what's happened. So you have these abandoned mines. You have places like Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. That can happen there, the salt domes. In urban areas, sometimes you get them because of water main breaks or sewage collapses or, you know, that kind of thing. But this is a landscape thing. This is more limestone, I believe, when we're talking about what happened in Florida. But somebody's there, they're on vacation, and the next thing you know, there's a sinkhole that swallowed up part of a condo. They couldn't really give me enough free passes for rides on Disney World to make me feel better about narrowly escaping that. You never know. And that's what you just heard there, the description of how people were scared, obviously, when they heard about it. People were shocked. They were trying not to worry. That was Lisa Scholl talking about what that was like, that experience. Wow. So we go from sinkholes to sinkholes of a different sort, of the NSA variety. This is one that we're not going to let go. It is pure insanity that we're supposed to stretch our imaginations, and stay with me on this, that suddenly the president wants to revamp some of the surveillance parts of the NSA and what they're doing because it's there are laws that need to be looked at. In other words, Ed Snowden comes out with the information, the classified information, about the NSA data grab. And because of the reaction to it, the president waits, or his people and the president wait a couple of months, and then they decide, you know what, we need to look at some aspects of the NSA surveillance program, so we're going to reform it. And we're supposed to believe that that had nothing to do with the leak. I mean, in one sense, it's like saying that, and not saying it, but it's like silently saying, rats, we got caught. Geez, people knew if they were paying attention that this was happening, but they just didn't know how broad it was. So now, because it's so much of the conversation, we don't want to distract from what we're doing in this government, both internationally and close to home or here at home. So we got to figure this out. We got to come out swinging in a better direction. That is directly related to Ed Snowden. It is directly related to that leak. Isn't that the definition of a whistleblower? The person blows the whistle because something illegal or heinous or wrong, whatever word you want to use, is happening. So they blow the whistle, and usually it takes the house down. Enron, Ken Lay, and his buddies. Taken down. Why? A whistleblower. Tobacco. Brown, almost taken down, whistleblower. Pentagon Papers, whistleblower. Ed Snowden, on a different list, but a whistleblower that has now, in fact, pushed the government to make a big change. And there's no way you can look at that and think it had nothing to do with Snowden. It's a snow job on us if they believe that. And I hope other people in talk radio are having this discussion, because I think it's so significant. No matter what your politics, who cares? Right, left, whatever. It's not about that. It's about the fact that our liberties were getting really, really trampled on. And until that information came out, they didn't care. They weren't going to reform that. Are you kidding me? That wasn't on anybody's list. There was nobody pushing to see what was happening at the NSA and say, whoa, 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 whoa. You're gathering too much information on ordinary citizens that have nothing to do with terror. This just is not right. Speaking of terror, we just got through Shark Week. I'm going to kind of mix this into the conversation. Do you know there was a shark attack? 10-year-old boy, I'm going to tell you where next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
On the subject of Snowden, I've talked about this. Is there now sort of a comeuppance or retribution, or pick whatever word you want to use, for Snowden because of the fact of the reaction of the government to what's happening with the NSA? Because there's no doubt about it, you can tie that to Snowden. He has the classified information come out. He dumps it to the reporter at The Guardian. And a couple of others, the stories break, and the rest is history that we know, that we've been over this ground tons of times. And other countries are upset. Some other countries are upset because they had to know we were spying, but they didn't like actually hearing about it. And more importantly, the American people feel like the government is spying on us. If you just happen to use the wrong word, it's not even the wrong word, you start to talk about something and it triggers the red flag, then your information, they got your information, whatever they're doing with it, not looking at it, looking at it, how could we possibly look at millions of metadata stuff? Doesn't matter, they have it, they culled it. And this is directly related from Snowden. So I have to say, he is a bona fide whistleblower, there's no question about that. No question about that. I want to talk about two different sharks. First, a 10-year-old boy was upset, was a little bit shaken up, but wasn't injured when he was attacked by a shark during a surf contest in South Carolina. Tyson Royston from Myrtle Beach was able to swim to safety by unhooking the leash connected to his ankle to the board. The shark grabbed it. Two surfers helped him back onto the beach. The shark got tangled in his leash, which was the saving grace, and he had the presence of mind to remove his leash, and that's probably what saved him. For once, there's a good story. There's not blood all over the place, half of a limb hanging off, whatever it is. The attack, they think, was a bull shark, and these are really aggressive sharks, maybe some of the most dangerous, and they go in warm, shallow water. And they are known to be in that area where Royston was attacked. But the incidents are still rare. I don't care what anyone tells me. If they say it's rare, it hardly ever happens, blah, 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 doesn't matter. It happened to this kid. So rare or not, he could have been in a very bad situation. Luckily, he did have presence of mind to dump the leash and then get in. It does make you, in some cases, wonder, is it worth going in the water? I mean, we're stepping into their habitat, after all. Speaking of stepping into it, Anthony Weiner, he's the other shark I want to talk about. It's just so easy to beat up on him, and who cares? It's not about beating up on him. It's about the fact that he's being filmed for a possible documentary. An MTV filmmaker was hanging out with Anthony Weiner and filming things. So that kind of set off the alarm bells that, oh, so they might be doing more with this. They are trying to say that it was recorded for something other than a television commercial and a pitch. So what could it possibly be? The documentary seems very, very likely to happen. And what's strange is he goes places and people either love him or hate him now. They either yell out obscenities or they scream out they love him. Either one or the other. There's no in-between on this. He's now a polarizing figure. Just like Sarah Palin, Hillary Clinton, now Anthony Weiner. He was the darling of the Democratic Party until they found out his dirty little secret, thanks to the big leak. And now he's still that guy who's either in denial, just wants to stay in politics at all costs, or, you know, pick whatever it is. What's very strange is his wife and picture sticking by him, standing by him, saying she knew what happened the second time around. I'm not buying that. I don't think so. She might be sticking around, but I think it has nothing to do with, I don't think it was that, oh, we were having trouble in our marriage, and so I was Carlos Danger, and I was flirting with young girls and sending them pictures of myself. There's just no way to take the ugly out of that. There's just no way to do it. No matter how much BS you throw out there, it just does not cover up what happened. It doesn't work. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk with Dr. Stephen Camerata from the Center for Immigration Studies, taking a look at census numbers. When we hear that there aren't any jobs and it seems as though there's a shortage of jobs, but yet it's the opposite of what we're seeing. It's the people placing folks in jobs and what they are really looking for. Because there's almost a surplus. There is a surplus of jobs. So he talks about the fact that we have this surplus of jobs and they're not being filled by Americans. Not being filled by Americans. So what does that mean? To me, it's pretty scary. Because immigration reform is not, I don't think it's going to move the needle at all. It'll be more conversation about it, but I don't think it's going to lead to lead to any kind of reform. I really don't. Not this year, anyway. It's not going to happen this year. So second quarter employment numbers show a huge supply of potential workers. And until they full-on lower that corporate tax rate, they're not going to be satisfied with the answer that they get from the big boys. But even small businesses, they got to figure out a way to run them to make a profit. It's not a charity. It's not a charity. So you always hear that we're talking about border security or other things related to security and how many people are in. But let me ask you this, America. So we agree, of course, yes, legally, get them in, figure out what you have to do, pay the amnesty. But why do we always hear that Americans won't do the jobs that people come in from other countries and do, whether it's picking fruit, picking vegetables, a housekeeper role, working on construction? I don't think so. I think there are people that would do those jobs. It's just they don't want to pay for them. If they can get the cheaper labor, they go for the cheaper labor in many, many cases. Because they know they'll work hard, and they know that they don't have to mess around with all the other stuff. They don't have to have salaries that are double or overtime or any of that. Which in a right-to-work state, you can pretty much almost get away with anyway. So there are plenty of places where that can happen. And anyway, we're going to talk with Dr. Stephen Camerata about what we're seeing with part-time jobs, underemployed, unemployed, but there is no labor shortage. If they built the Keystone Pipeline, there's your shovel-ready jobs and then some, because that's going to take I think it's going to take longer than they're estimating to just build that thing up. And even once it's built, there'll be jobs along that route for some people. But if that were to open up floodgates, that'd take care of that number of unemployed right now, because they'd have jobs. I think people want to work. If they're treated right, paid a fair wage, they just want to work. People want to work. Some people are worker bees. They don't want to try to make something or do something on their own. They want to work for somebody else. And if they're an entrepreneur, they're always looking for the best deal that they can get because they know what could be on the other side. All right, stay with us. All that conversation that's set up about immigration with some real facts in it. This is a meaty interview. That's next here on America Tonight.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, colon enhancer, sea cucumber, super fam and super male plex, plus glucosamine chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off. Free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
People are taking charge of their lives with healthier lifestyles. That's why you have to experience the Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event. One day only, Saturday, August 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Durham Convention Center in Durham, North Carolina. Explore the Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, where learning is fun and delicious. Discover the world of gluten-free with free samples, cooking demonstrations, and lectures with well-known members of the gluten-free community. Enter the raffle, and you can win the grand prize of a catered barbecue from Bonesuckin' Sauce, valued at $3,000. The Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, August 17th at the Durham Convention Center. For more, visit RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. Presented by Udi's Gluten Free, Glutino, Enjoy Life Foods, and Youngevity.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Tonight, Dr. Steve Camerata, he is the Center for Immigration Studies, Director of Research, and something interesting popped up on my radar, something that they did tremendous research on, and what it is about the supply of potential workers. How often have we talked about this? They actually broke it down into second quarter analysis, and this is their big headline on a lot of the research, that showed that 57 million native-born people not working. You know, these are so many of you call me to tell me your woes that we share these stories on America Tonight, and here you go. Dr. Steve, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So in doing this research and finding that number, the 57 million Native Americans that aren't working, and this is this analysis of the new Census Bureau numbers, I mean, that's a crazy amount of people to me. That's 17 million more, and you say it, Native-born Americans that aren't working today than in the second quarter of 2000. How is this possible? I thought it seems like every single day I'm hearing something about it's getting better, there's more jobs, there's more opportunities. Is that just a smokescreen or what?
Well, I mean, the job market has improved, particularly, you know, we measure this by looking at what's called the household survey. It's collected by the Census Bureau every month, and then it's analyzed by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's where we get the unemployment number, not the job growth number. That comes from somewhere else. Anyway, it's also where we get numbers on poverty and wages. It's called the current population survey. Anyway, the data from the second quarter shows 57 million native-born Americans not working. If we looked at naturalized citizens, you'd have to add a couple million more on top of that. Anyway, if we compare back to 2007 before the recession, as you correctly point out, that's about 10 million larger. And if we go back to 2000 in the same quarter, it's about 17 million larger. And again, we're looking at working age people here, so we're not looking at old folks or anything like that. And yeah, it's extraordinary. You're right. The number of people not working who are U.S. born is incredible. We know that real wages, that is what people get paid, whether we're looking at high school dropouts, high school graduates, people with some college, and even college graduates haven't gone up. And so what all that's important in the context of the immigration debate, because we constantly hear that America needs more workers. Remember, one of the arguments for amnestying the 7 to 8 million illegal immigrants working, and this is important, doubling legal immigration in the future, that's what the Senate bill does, it doubles legal immigration, and I can't even tell you what it does on guest worker programs, but I mean, it's even more than that. But the bottom line is the whole justification is America is short of workers, and it's completely divorced from the actual data the government's collecting on wages and the number of people who aren't working.
Yeah, well, how interesting is that, especially, as you say, the big push for this immigration reform, and when you look under the hood, there's some things that aren't revealed. And one thing that I would assume this excludes would be teenagers, because we know that teenagers who normally, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember 16, I had a great job. It helped me on my way to college and, you know, gave me some responsibility. But now those jobs are even harder to come by, aren't they?
Right. I mean, if you were to go and look at the summer and go back even as recently as the early 90s, about 60% of teenagers worked, about two-thirds. Now it's down to about one-third work each summer. Right. This is, say, kids 16 to 19, or you could look at younger teens or older teens. Same trend. They work less and they make less. And why that's so important, by the way, and I think you hit on something, is that there's a lot of research showing that when you work when you're young, it helps shape your values. And if you don't work when you're young, particularly for those, about half of all kids don't go on to college, for those kids who don't go on to college, what happens is they don't learn the skills necessary to function in the labor market, like showing up on time and not telling your boss he's an idiot, even if he really is. And those things turn out to be really important, because if you don't learn them when you're 17, it's very hard to learn when you're 27. And there is a lot of good research suggesting that about half of the decline in work among American teenagers is attributable to immigrant competition. Because, let's be clear, it's probably true that at a McDonald's or some other place that a 27-year-old from Mexico who, you know, Mexicans make up about 60% of illegals. They're the largest legal immigrant sending group as well. So I just use Mexico as an example. A 27-year-old from Mexico might well be a better worker than the average American 17-year-old kid. And that might have been true in 1980 or 1990 as well. But there just wasn't that many then. But what's important is what the long-term consequences mean is that by bringing that worker in, yes, the McDonald's might get a slightly better worker, but it reshapes the values of our young people, and it reshapes them out of the world of work. So the negative long-term consequence of that might be very troubling, even if the short-term, hey, you get a good worker, which I'm not arguing he's not a good worker, but it misses the big picture. Now, that's just for teenagers. The bigger picture, of course, is that 30-year-olds are working less, 40-year-olds are working less, 50-year-olds are working less. The only group that's actually working more is sort of the 65 to 70-year-olds. They're working more. But other than that, everybody's working less and generally making less. That is, average hourly wages, you know, broken down by hour, is either flat, no growth, or a decline. And in economics, if you have a shortage of something, which is what we keep hearing from Congress and advocates for this doubling of legal immigration, if you have a shortage of something, the price goes up. And now that should be true in economics, whether you're talking about wheat or ingots of steel or workers. And the price of workers is wages. And yet we don't see the price of workers going up, that is wages, at all. In the last 13 years, they're basically flat. Or in some cases, they're outright decline. In other words, adjusted for inflation, folks actually make less than they used to. And we know they work a lot less, both in terms of more people forced to work part-time or just not working at all. How can you have a labor shortage? And again, this is true for college graduates and high school dropouts and everything in between. How can you have a labor shortage when there's no real wage growth, and in many cases decline, and a dramatic explosion is non-work among adults, 18 to 65. It's as if the immigration discussion occurs divorced from the actual reality of the U.S. labor market.
Right, which is their, which is the government's own Census Bureau information that you took and analyzed, am I right?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. This is just the stuff that the Census Bureau collects and the Bureau of Labor Statistics uses it to put out that unemployment number. And you can download the public use file yourself, it's called. And you have to know what you're doing, but you have to run the numbers yourself. And it's all there. It's not being hidden, but it's not making its way into this immigration debate.
Yeah, speaking of the immigration debate, and we're speaking with Dr. Stephen Camerata, Center for Immigration Studies. The other thing is, how about the immigration population that's coming that aren't working? Because that also is a big collective group, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's important to note that the survey, interestingly enough, asks people if they're immigrants, that is, born in another country and they're not U.S. citizens at birth, and it asks them, are they working and when did they come? So if you look at those who said that they came in the last 5 years, and that's about 5 million people, only about 48% total had a job. Now, that's of everyone, which is important because one of the arguments for immigration is that we're an aging society and we don't have enough workers relative to people not working, which we've already been talking about. But one of the things is that only about 48% of all the immigrants who came in the last 5 years actually had a job in the second quarter of 2013. Remember, this is the most recent data we have. Now, we can focus in on just the 16 to 65-year-olds or the 18 to 65-year-olds, and that shows that about 60 or 59% have a job. That's still a good deal lower than the native-born population. In other words, we bring in a lot of people, but a lot of them don't find jobs, and that's important. That doesn't mean that they're all lazy and came to get wealth or anything like that, but it's important to understand that you're not going to fundamentally change the ratio of workers to non-workers by bringing in immigrants. It just doesn't have that effect, as the most recent data show. And you have the very real possibility, and I think this is clearly what's going on, is the displacement of U.S.-born workers, which makes that ratio of workers to non-workers even worse. But your question was on the immigrants themselves. And as I said, a large fraction aren't working of the new arrivals.
Yeah, frightening. So to just tie this whole thing up, it's what we said at the beginning. There are potential workers. It's an enormous supply, as your headline says. It's an enormous supply. So it's what we're hearing doesn't match up with the numbers that were culled from the Census Bureau. So there is no shortage of people willing to work in the United States, right?
Right. You can look actually at how many are actively looking for a job. And at minimum, if you use the broad measure of unemployment, you're looking at between 20 and 25 million U.S. citizens who say they're actively looking in one way or another for a job. Now, that shows that not every one of that 57 million is actively looking, but a lot of people are. And then there are a lot of people who just kind of give up, and they don't show up in even the broad measures of unemployment. But I think if we paid them better, they, too, some fraction would jump back in. Now, look. Some people don't want to work. Some people are disabled. Some are staying home taking care of little kids. But that's always been true. The fact that we have 17 million more working-age people not working now than we did back in 2000, that's illustrative of a very serious problem and certainly an indication there's no labor shortage in America.
Excellent way to end this. Dr. Steve Camerata, Center for Immigration Studies. Don't be a stranger. We enjoyed the information and the conversation. We'll talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, And the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Of We Can Count. Topping We Can Count by the numbers, Joe Biden thinks about stepping in again, throwing his name in the hat for 2016. How many times have we seen Biden go for it? So after acting as vice president for two terms, he's laying the groundwork quietly, some say, for his own bid. And it's a reminder that Joe Biden is not going away anytime soon. In modern history, worth noting, there have been a few that have gone from vice president to president ultimately, and or have run certainly for it. If we look at seats, open seats anyway, Richard Nixon 1960 to Al Gore in 2000, vice presidents have maybe a little bit of an advantage in trying to get the nomination, although I think this time around it would be pretty tough for Biden if Hillary Clinton is definitely in the mix. And if she isn't, I still think it would be rather tough for him to do that. And you go back to 2008, and he was part of the many candidates running that time around, and he ran before that. So there's a good chance he tries. Like I said, he's laying the groundwork, and it's interesting when you go back and you look at the list of VPs who have become presidential nominees, and, you know, that's all the way from Nixon to Hubert Humphrey to George H.W. Bush in 88, Al Gore in 2000. Gore, if you remember, trailed New Jersey Senator Bill Bradley early in 1999, but eventually won the Iowa caucuses. Sometimes in the political process is so strange now, the person you think is the shoo-in. And how many people thought Mitt Romney was really going to be the Republican nominee the last time around? If you had asked people several years ago, they absolutely would not have said that it would be Mitt Romney. In early polling, just to give you another number, Hillary Clinton leads Joe Biden and other potential Democratic candidates by 51%. And that's an average of polls from the website Real Clear Politics. Real Clear Politics. California Governor Jerry Brown signed a controversial piece of legislation. He signed transgender student bill. This is something in California that's been talked about for a long time. There are really more supporters in that state than subtractors of this idea or opponents of this idea. But the bill that became a law on Monday afternoon allows the transgender public school students to choose what bathrooms they use and whether they participate in boys or girls sports. It covers the 6.2 million elementary and high school kids in public schools. Supporters say that the law will help cut down on bullying against those kinds of students, and the families of transgender students have been pushing for a long time for this to happen, for restrooms and locker rooms and all that kind of stuff. So now that it's happened in California, there may be some other states weighing this possibility that might see it happen there as well. Massachusetts, Connecticut, Washington, and Colorado. Now, opponents of the bill say that students of one gender should use one facility, that's it, and that could invade the other students' privacy rights, but you're never going to solve that riddle. And some of these schools, how many of the students are transgender students? This was controversial. A judge ruling on New York's stop and frisk policy, a federal judge also on Monday came down with the New York Police Department saying that they came down on the New York City Police Department saying they violated the civil rights of New Yorkers with their very broad stop and frisk policy. Now, the way it works is that they can, this is exactly what it says, that they can stop and frisk people, and some feel that the Fourth Amendment is trampled on because of that, because they've been deprived of the basic freedom. By stopping somebody for reasonable suspicion that it's been so persistent that it's become standard operating procedure, and it's just a daily way of life in some New York City neighborhoods. There have been about 5 million stops during the past decade, mostly black and Hispanic men. The judge issued a ruling after a 10-week bench trial. It included testimony from top NYPD brass and dozens of people. 11 men and one woman said they were wrongly stopped because of their race. The judge said stop and frisk is a constitutional police tactic and that the plaintiffs had readily established that the NYPD implements its policies regarding stop and frisk in a manner that intentionally discriminates based on race. She also said through paperwork alone, she determined at least 200,000 stops were made without reasonable suspicion. Wow, 200,000. And the idea was that they would catch the bad guys, stop them, and help the whole crime situation in certain neighborhoods, but that apparently blew up in their face. Speaking of privacy issues, one reason that I think it would not be fun to live in England is the city of London is demanding that an ad firm stop using spy cams in trash cans. In one way, I say, why not? There's cameras everywhere in London. But what's happened is the Renew ad firm was using an embedded They were using embedded cameras in receptacles to measure Wi-Fi signals from smartphones, and they're saying that the concept of cookies, you know, tracking files that follow Internet users across the web to the physical world, this is how they're doing it, and it's great information. They first tested it with 12 trash cans in May, but the story didn't get any traction until last week when there was a burst of publicity surrounding what they're calling the spy bins. The spy bins. So, it is kind of interesting if you think about it, what they're trying to measure. But they're saying that it's a privacy thing. And this is the watch of Big Brother. And extrapolating the capabilities and what they're developing could be pretty scary. But I'll say it again. In London, you want to assume you're being spied on. There's a place where you can guarantee you're being spied on, or you feel like somebody's watching you, because somebody is watching you. All right, speaking of being watched closer to home, Arizona sheriff is arming deputies with AR-15-style rifles to combat what's happening with the bad guys in Arizona. And you know who this is, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He made the announcement last week. It was the same day one of his employees, a 27-year-old, was gunned down when he walked into his driveway to head to work. And Sheriff Joe says, look, we live in a violent society, even here in Maricopa County and across our nation. The least we can do is arm our deputies. So Arpaio bought 400 Smith & Wesson rifles with the money seized by cops during arrests. Sadly, the cop who was gunned down was an 8-year veteran who worked for the Sheriff's Office Custody Support Bureau in the jail's food factory, but often came into contact with the inmates. And they feel as though this is where this all stemmed from. Last one is a very, very sad story, and it kind of takes your breath away. Have you ever sat high when you've gone to a ball game and not really thought about it? A man died after falling more than 60 feet from an upper deck at Turner Field in Atlanta during a baseball game between the Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. Witnesses say that he fell from the outside of the 400 level of the stadium. Atlanta police say that he landed in a parking lot, and they describe, at least the witnesses do, the fall as accidental. Scary stuff. Heavy rain, a 2-hour delay of the game might have contributed, they say. It might have been a little bit slick, perhaps, but they're still investigating that. Any thoughts on the show? Share them with me. Go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and you're in just like that.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro Plant Powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with Micro Plant Powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.